السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد. Next week I am not here. Mufti Muhammad Azam Sahib will give his own khutbah in Urdu. But the following week onwards, we will continue with the same series of khutbat. And alhamdulillah, I am using to begin with the ayat from Surah Al-Hujurat, which is a surah which has in detail the issues of akhlaq and the issues of adab that are essential for us to know. My Shaykh used to say that Surah Al-Hujurat should be memorized by every Muslim because it helps you to remember all the major points of akhlaq and all the major points even as far as aqaid are concerned, and you cannot go wrong if you know the surah. But alhamdulillah, whether you memorize it or not, do read it and do try to understand it, and that is what we will do from here. Plus, we will in due course take ayat from different other parts of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for us things that we need to focus on. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy to see a larger number of people in here in the masjid before the khutbah begins, and that's a good idea because any khutbah, obviously the opening is important, and if you miss the opening, then you miss that important part. Of course, all the khutbahs here are, we have everything recorded, all of that is available on the net, on the website, and the text is also available and so on. But there is hopefully a difference between hearing it straight from the mouth of this particular horse or seeing it on the net. And therefore, I suggest that all horse lovers come in time, in the beginning of the khutbah, inshallah. I want to begin by one of my quotes, which is, attitude drives behavior and behavior drives results. Attitude drives behavior and behavior drives results. Now, everything begins with attitude. If we love something, we need no encouragement to do it. And if we find something meaningless, then all the money in the world will not put any energy and enthusiasm into our engagement with that activity. The same applies to religion. If we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be encouraged to obey Him as we look forward to our meeting with Him. يَرْجُوا لِقَائِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly in several places in the Quran. Those who love to meet Allah. And why is it necessary to say it in this way? Those who love to meet Allah. Because everybody will meet Allah anyway. Whether you love to meet Allah or you do not love to meet Allah makes no difference to the fact that you will meet Him. The issue is, do you want to meet Allah? Now who will want to meet Allah? Who wants to meet anybody? The one who anticipates a pleasant experience. You don't want to meet someone when you know that particular meeting is going to be stressful or that particular meeting is going to be painful. Nobody wants that. You may have to do it, but you don't want it. But a meeting which you anticipate that this meeting is going to be beautiful, I'm going to love that time I have to spend, then you look forward to that meeting. And the same logic applies with regard to the meeting with Allah Jalla wa Ala. And therefore, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be encouraged to obey Him and look forward to our meeting with Him. And of course, vice versa, may Allah protect us from that. In this series of lectures, inshallah, we will look at the tarbiyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did of the Sahaba with a view to inculcating those values in our lives. I want to remind myself and you that the only people in the world who had a guarantee of Jannah after the Anbiya are the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them the best generation. He said, Khairul Quruni Qarni. He said, the best generation is my generation. Thumma yalunahum. And after that, the one that comes after and the one that comes after. And the Mufassirin and the Muhaddithin have said that this refers, of course, chronologically to the people who were actually who shared the same life space with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But by implication, it also refers to those people who inculcate the qualities of those who lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this explanation is not a figment of the imagination. This explanation is on the basis of the ayat of the Quran, with which inshallah I will conclude today's lecture. So I will give you a dalil for this statement that the khairul qurun, the best generation, is the generation of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, who lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's also inshallah, those who will be included in that are people who come after, but who inculcate the qualities of the Sahaba. And that's the reason why the door of that first generation is open for us, and it will remain open till the last day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shuts all doors. I want to remind myself and you that the guarantee of Jannah is for no one other than this generation. Those who introduce new practices into Islam must beware of potentially placing themselves out of this definition of this blessed group. Those who follow the Sahaba in excellence, that is the best group. The best group is the one who follow the Sahaba in tabi'ahum bi ihsan, who do the ittiba of the Sahaba to the level of excellence. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were taught directly by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And in some cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did their tarbiyah as well, which we shall see. There was a special generation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and blessed with the company of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order that they may learn the deen in its purest form and take that message to the rest of the world. Today, the fact that we are all gathered here is proof that they fulfilled their responsibility to a level of excellence. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward that generation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in keeping with His majesty and grace. Surah Al-Hujurat is a surah of the Quran which has perhaps the maximum number of instructions about attitude and behavior with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the akhlaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. There is mention about these matters also in Surah Al-Ahzab and in Surah Al-Nur and other places in the Quran. But in this surah, these matters are stated very clearly and very powerfully. And that's why I thought it's a good idea for us to focus on these critical matters, because adab is the foundation of our religion. I begin with the first three ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. Which means, O you who believe, and we all know that when an ayah begins with this form of address, what does it mean? It means it is a hukum. It is a direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. Anything which begins with Dayu Alladina Amanu is a hukum for the people who are believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger. Do not try to exceed Allah and His Messenger. Don't put yourself forward before Allah and His Messenger and fear Allah. Wattaqullah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. Sami'un alim. O you who believe, once again, hukum. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not speak aloud to him as you speak to one another, lest your deeds will be rendered fruitless while you do not even know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or if you address him without the adab that is due to the Nabi, your deeds will be wiped out clean and you will not even know. Verily, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety, and for them is forgiveness and a great reward. In the famous book, Al-Asbab al-Nuzul, The Circumstances of the Revelation, this is a very important part of the ilm of this deen, which many of us forget. And we take the ayat of the Quran, and most of us don't understand the Arabic, so that the actual meaning in its spirit is lost to us anyway. And then we take an English translation or a Urdu translation or some translation, and we start interpreting the Quran based on that translation. This is the worst of sins. This is the Ummul Khaba'is. To speak about the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without sufficient knowledge is the Ummul Khaba'is. It is the worst of the sins. Don't fool yourself. To know the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of the circumstances of the revelation, in terms of nasikh wal mansukh, all of these things is necessary before we can interpret the Quran. By all means, read the Quran, read the tarajim, read the translations. Of course, most important and most essential for us to actually learn the Arabic so that we understand the kalam of Allah in the original language. So we must do all of these things. By all means, nothing wrong with reading translation. But don't take the translation and start extracting ahkam. I read this ayah, this is what Allah said. And you start talking in English. First of all, Allah did not say that because He didn't say it in English. He said it in Arabic, and in many cases the meaning changes very, very drastically. Just to give you one very simple example of the differences of translation. Almost every translation you read, Aqimu Salah, will be translated as how? Find me established prayer in a translation. Find me established prayer in a translation. You are saying that because you heard that from me. Perform prayer. Perform prayer. Abhi nikalo, bring a translation and show me established salah. Iqamati salah is not performance of prayer. It is the establishment of prayer. And there is a world of difference. World of difference. Just to tell you, just to explain to you the importance of learning the language of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the famous book, Al-Asbab al-Nuzul, of the great scholar Ali bin Ahmad al-Wahidi, rahimahullah ta'ala, it is narrated from Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, about these ayats of Suratul Hujurat. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma narrated that horsemen from the Banu Tamim went to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, appoint Al-Qa'qa ibn Ma'bad, who was one of the leaders of Banu Tamim, as their leader. It was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people came to accept Islam, he would accept their Islam, then he would appoint one of them as the leader for the tribe, and they would go back, and the job of the leader was to teach them the deen and to lead salah and so on and so forth. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu suggested to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to appoint a particular man, Qaqa bin Ibn Ma'bad. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, appoint Al-Aqra ibn Habith as their leader, another man. And there was an argument between Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, you just want to oppose me for the sake of opposing me. And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, no, I'm not opposing you for the sake of opposing you. I'm just suggesting the name of a man who I consider to be more capable. So this is the circumstances of the revelation of the first ayah 1 and 2, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you who believe, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And fear Allah, verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And do not speak aloud to him as you speak to each other, lest your deeds are rendered fruitless, lest your amal are wiped out. Now, Thabit bin Qais, and I am explaining to you the Asbab al-Nuzul, and I will tell you what each of them did. There was another Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Thabit bin Qais ibn Shammas. He was a famous Qari of the Quran. He was a very beautiful recitation of the Kalam of Allah. But Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu was hard of hearing. So he used to naturally speak loudly. And this was also true of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was not hard of hearing, but he had a very big and powerful voice. So the natural voice was big. And so was the voice of Thabit bin Qais ibn Shimas. Now when this ayat was revealed, Thabit bin Qais bin Shimas disappeared from the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after 2 or 3 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Where is he gone? What's happened to him?" And this is the hadith narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. They said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, he is sitting in his house and he is crying, he is weeping day and night. Because he says that this ayah came for him and therefore he is from the people of Jahannam. Because what happens if your deeds are wiped out? Where do you go? Into the hellfire. Where else?" And Thabit bin Qais, when he heard this ayah, he said, "This ayah is for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reprimanded me because of my voice. And therefore, I am from the people of Jahannam." And therefore, God went into his house and the whole time he was weeping. And this was informed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go and tell him that he is from the people of Jannah. Give him the bashara of Jannah from me. This ayah is not for him." And after that, the Sahaba said, whenever we saw Thabit bin Qais going, we would point to him, we would remind each other and point to him and say, "There goes a man from Jannah." Now, the two about whom this ayat actually came. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu took a vow and he said, "I will speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only in a whisper." Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went to the extent where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to ask him again and again, What did you say? He would say it so softly that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't hear. So he had to ask him over and over, "What did you say?" And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the third ayah. And Allah says, "Those who do not raise their voices above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah, of the Messenger of Allah, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. And for them is forgiveness and a great reward." What manner of these people? Imagine this particular ayah, the Mufassirin say that this ayah came for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What manner of people for whom the Quran was revealed, for whom the basharat were given for them specifically because of what they did. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain are the gold standard. They are the original standard bearers of Islam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the world as a benchmark for all time. So how do we understand these ayats? Now that I have explained the ayats to you and I have also explained the circumstances of the revelation, the Asbab al-Nuzul, how do they apply to us? Do these ayahs apply to us at all, or are these meant for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, and whoever did good, and that was the end of that particular story? What is it? You know and I know our aqidah with respect to the Kalam of Allah is that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed applies to us. And it applies to all of mankind and will continue to apply till the day of judgment. And that is the reason why it's very important for us to understand the ayat, the context of the ayat, because that helps us to understand how to apply that ayah in our own lives. So let us see what must we do and what must we guard against, because these ayat are not simply important as they are the ayat of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they are important also because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined what our attitude towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be and told us in clear terms what would happen if we failed to develop this attitude. And these ayats teach us the manners, the adab relating to dealing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with relating to dealing with his blessed sunnah. There are three matters that are addressed in these ayats. The first matter is how to deal with the orders and rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, then it is mustahab and it is recommended and it's a great blessing on you to send salat and salam on him, read the durood, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever is best. Number two, first point is how to deal with the orders and rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two point, what if you argue and with these orders and you refuse to accept them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also. What will happen if you do not obey the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even if you obeyed them, in our Urdu as we say, ba dile na khasta, which is you obey them but with all sorts of reservations and resistance in the heart. And number three, what of those who accept the orders and bow in submission? Sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. What about them? Three things. Let's look at all of these. Number one, how do you deal with the orders of and rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with himself to reiterate the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the lawgiver. Allah said, putting yourself forward before Allah and his messenger. And this refers to elevating our own opinion and desire in competition with the orders of Allah and his messenger. This is a very common thing that we hear. This is a very common problem with the Muslims today, especially the so-called educated. They're educated in all kinds of other things. The guy is a motor mechanic and he wants to make tafsir of the Quran. And if he's a computer mechanic, it doesn't change the fact. Same thing operates. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying about this? Very common. When you say this is the sunnah, people say, "Oh, wo sahi hai, magar wo zamane mein tha, aaj hamara zamana alag hai." So this is the sunnah. He said, "No, that was for those days. Our days are different." You say, this is the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, but this is not what it means. All kinds of arguments and counter arguments on the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, first of all, putting yourself forward before Allah and his messenger. This refers to elevating our own opinion. This refers in effect to saying, Allah wants, but I also want. The Nabi of Allah said, but I also said. My brothers and sisters, this form of address, Allah wa Rasul, Allah wa Rasul, Allah wa Rasul, has come in the Quran numerous times, many, many times. And this is to emphasize the high status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to emphasize that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only conveys the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The orders of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are never at odds. They are never contradictory to one another. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is always in support of and explains what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to. This ayah, the first ayah, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله, and its meaning and instruction that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be obeyed without question or argument, even to the extent of accepting his rulings, not only outwardly, but also in the heart, is supported by several other ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equated obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to obedience to himself. That does not confer any divine status on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but underlines the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say anything of his own will, but said only what he was ordered to say by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give you some examples, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. He said, he obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. ومن يطيع الرسول فقد اطاع الله. The one who obeyed the messenger has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he who turns away, he who says, but ye to hadith hi chhai na, he who says that ye ayat mein Quran mein kaha hai. I'm giving you examples of what the statements that we hear from the, what I call the educated unemployed. Yeah, they have nothing better to do, so they do this. If you are a motor mechanic, go and lie down under a car and do what you know. Don't try to interpret the book of Allah because you didn't spend any time trying to learn the book of Allah. So he obeys the messenger as obeyed Allah. But he who turns away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we have not sent you as a watcher over them. He says, your responsibility is to convey. If they don't obey, leave them to me. I will deal with them. In another place in Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he does not speak of his own desire. He says only that which is revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made complete obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a condition of iman. And said that anyone who didn't obey Rasulullah completely, inwardly and outwardly, is not even a Muslim. I invite those who speak against the sunnah to reflect on what they are doing to themselves. And to reflect about what will happen to them on the day when they meet Allah. Which brings us to the second point. What if you argue against the orders of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What if you harbor resistance in your heart even against the rulings of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fala wa rabbika la yu'minuna hatta يُحَكِّمُكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا خَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. In Surah An-Nisa again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but know by your Rabb. This is the problem of not understanding Arabic. You don't understand the magnitude of what is being said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by himself. What is a bigger way of taking an oath? Allah did not say fala and then he took an oath by the Kaaba. Fala bi rabbil Kaaba. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fala wa rabbika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by himself. He says, by my jalal and by my greatness and magnificence, by the fact that I am the Rabb, Rabbul Alameen. Oath by the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is taking the oath? Allah himself. It is not a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying by Allah. No, Allah himself is saying this. And he is taking an oath by himself. And he is saying, Jalla wa ala, they can have no iman. La yu'minun. They are not Muslims. They can have no iman until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their judge in all matters between them. And listen carefully. And find in themselves, within their hearts, no resistance against your decisions. And they accept those decisions with complete submission. My brothers and sisters, you and I know very well that a sin is what is committed. A sin is an action or it is speech. What is in your heart is not sin. Yes? This is the fiqh. If you think about drinking alcohol, it's not a nice thing to think about. But if you think about that, it's not a sin. Only when you go and drink and one hopes that you don't, then it becomes a sin. Right? But in this case, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that with respect to the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if you think, even if it is in your heart, if there is a ruling of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, What is the ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the beard? I'm sorry, this is, I have to do this, I'm sorry. I apologize, my sincere apologies. Sack me, you can't sack me because you don't pay me anyway. But tell me nicely, decently with a smile, please get out, I'll go away. To pray Juma is fard, to give the khutbah is not fard, I can do this without, I can do without this. So please forgive me. But what is the hukum of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the beard? You tell me, I know. You also know. Tell me, what is the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the beard for the man? Is it a hukum or no? I rest my case. I don't have to say anything about that. Couple of people here who I love very much, so let me not push my boundaries. My brothers and sisters, please. Please understand this issue of disobeying the ahkam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only is it a sin of a magnitude where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising to wipe out all deeds, but even to think against it, even to think against it is a sin. And we know, I have had calls, may Allah, I tell you, may Allah forgive me, I don't know why these young guys call me. I have had calls from young boys who start to keep a beard, and they say their own parents, their own fathers and the brothers and the uncles. Urdu mein bolta hun, samajh mein aata zara. Woh dil mein ki kalik muh pe aa gayi bole gate. Karte so badmashi, zaman khuli to musibat hai, ye jagah pe khade rahe nahi bolna. करते सो बदमाशी काफी नहीं है, दूसरा नेक काम कर रहा तो उसको रोकते भी, और वो ये तरीके से दिल की कालिक मुंह पे निकली तो नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के चेहरे अनवर पे क्या थी? है खाली बैठ के दस्तगफरा बोले तो नहीं होता, खाली बैठ के जलसा मिलाद उन नबी करे तो नहीं होता? इतने बड़े आशिक रसूल है, दिल में की कालिक मुंह पे आई बोलते तो अल्लाह के नबी के चेहरे अनवर पे क्या थी? इन्ना लिल्लाहि व इन्ना इलैहि राजिऊन। अरे खुदा का खौफ करो भाई, खुद नहीं करते मत करो, दैट यू नो एंड योर रब नोज, बट एटलीस्ट डोंट स्टॉप समबडी एल्स एंड डोंट डू दैट इन दिस हॉरिबल मैनर। वो बच्चे मेरे को फोन करते, भाई क्या करूं शेख? मैं बोला तुम ना को करो, मैं करता हूं, मैं करता हूं, है I will make dua that Allah removes that hurdle from your life forever. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this is not my fatwa, this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 65, Surah An-Nur, go read it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned both, accepting inwardly and accepting outwardly. And to accept that also with complete joy of obedience, not with burden, not with bad grace. My brothers and sisters, I've said this a million times. If you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do it joyfully. Are kisi ki na kisi ko nakal karna hi hai yaar zindagi mein. You are going to be doing somebody's imitation no matter what you do. Why do you want to imitate anyone other than the best of the best? End of the day, no matter what you do, you grow a beard, you shave your beard, you have hijab, you don't have hijab, you wear, you know, good clothes, bad clothes, you eat this, eat that, you are in the end imitating somebody or the other, knowingly or unknowingly. There is no such thing which is new that you are going to be doing which no one ever did before. Whether it is something good or whether it is something evil, you are always imitating someone or the other. Someone lives or has lived who has done that before you. Be absolutely certain in your life. If you stand in tahajjud and you recite the kalam of Allah beautifully and you go in sujood and you weep before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe me, you are not the first one to do it. Every Nabi did it. And the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it more than anybody else. Whether good or bad, you are imitating somebody or the other. And my submission to you is, why not imitate the best of the best? And you know my father, and the people here who knew my father personally, my friend Dr. Saeed is here. He and I grew up together. We went to school 12 years together in the same class. He knows more about me than anybody else in this room. And he is going to keep his mouth shut about that. My father didn't have a beard until he was past 70. And every argument in the world that I presented before him didn't work. Didn't work. And of course, my father, so I can't say anything, you know, too loudly or so on, so on. So, but I did all the dalail, everything. Didn't work. Until one day my brother came from America. And he told him exactly what I told you. He told him, you have to imitate somebody. No matter what you are doing, you are imitating somebody. Why not imitate the best of the best? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my father's heart. And he never shaved again. Never again after that. And when he died, at the age of 79, subhanAllah, what noor on his face. What noor on his face. Alhamdulillah, I was able to do all the things about the janazah with him, my lady Salatul Janazah. What noor on his face. My brothers and sisters, end of the day, we have to go. Why not go looking like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What's the problem with that? Tell me. Where is this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why not go looking like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the problem? What must I do? How do I convince you? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about the obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, also in Surah An-Nisa, He said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah said, the only saying of the believers, the only thing which is worthy of the believer, when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, meaning that when the kalam of Allah is recited before them, or when the hadith or ahkam or rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are presented before them, the only thing which is worthy of the believer is to say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ula'ika humul muflihun. These are the people who are successful. And remember, Allah did not say who will be successful. He said they are successful. In this dunya as they live, they are successful. Inshallah, in the akhirah also they will be successful. We ask Allah to include us all among them, inshallah. And the third ayah of the Quran, and there are many ayah, for the purpose of my khutbah, I don't have to collect all of them, there are many of them, but just for this, just to emphasize to you, I have taken just three ayat. Third ayat is from Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُضُهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whatsoever, it's a complete blanket order. Whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he orders, obey it and do it. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he stops you from, stop. Blanket order. In the dunya, in ibadah, in akhlaq, in muamilat, in muashara, in your society, in your manners, in your families, in your outside, in the business world, in the corporate world, in government, in business, anywhere, whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told you to do, do it. Whatever he stopped you from, stop. Until when is this to be done? Till the day of judgment. Till the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned. He said, Wattaqullah, inna Allaha shadeedul iqab. He said, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, because the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very severe. My brothers and sisters, the biggest sign of this, meaning the biggest sign of this blanket permission for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make ahkam, for him to make laws, is the fact that in the arkan of Islam, in the pillars of Islam, all of which are acts of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately left the implementation, how are they to be done, to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain. وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the adhan of Jum'ah is called, run towards the dhikr of Allah. Ya Allah, I ran, I came here, now what shall I do? Stand on your head. What shall I do? Where is the explanation in Surah Jum'ah from which this ayat comes? Where is the explanation anywhere in the Quran that the Jum'ah consists of two rakat of fard instead of four of zuhr? Where is the explanation to say that this two rakat of fard is to be preceded by a khutbah on the minbar? Where is it? So how come you are making all of this Jum'ah? Eh? Think about this, think about these things, because these are the things with which the ikhwanu shayateen, the awladu shayateen, the children of shaitan, seek to misguide. And unfortunately, those of us who don't take the trouble to learn, we get misguided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, aqimu salah, hukum of Allah, establish salah. How? We don't know. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Pray as you have seen me pray. As I have said many times before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not constrained that he had to submit his book, the Quran, to an editor. And the editor said, excuse me, you cannot have more than 6,000 ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have had 15,000 ayat. He could have had 150,000 ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have explained the salah in complete and total detail. Yes? But he did not. Why? To emphasize the importance of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, aqimu salah, and he left his nabi to show what is salah. Allah taught him what is salah, and he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you have seen me pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, give zakat. How much zakat to give? 2.5%, 10%, 20%. People get confused. There are some people, because of their jahalat, because of their lack of knowledge, they say zakat is 20%, because they confuse zakat with the distribution of ghanima. Ignorance. Ignorance by itself is no problem. Alhamdulillah, we are all ignorant. So go and ask. First, ask the people who know. But ignorant and insisting on ignorant is zaluman jahula. Is zalim and jahil. Big argument. Zakat 2.5%. It is 20%, because it says 20% in the Quran. It does not say 20% in the Quran. Show me where it says 20% in the Quran. Where it says 20% in the Quran in Suratul Anfal refers to mal of ghanima. Does not refer to zakat. But you need to have some sense. Allah said, pay zakat. He did not say how much. Who said how much? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much is to be paid? 2.5%. What about agricultural land? What about cattle? What about stock in trade? What must I do if I have a warehouse? All of this stuff, where does it come from? The ahkam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did not speak of his own will. He spoke what was inspired to him. He spoke the wahi which was given to him, which we know as wahi ghair matlu', the wahi which is not recited in salah. But it is wahi. What is the dalil? Surah An-Najm, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. That wahi which is recited, the wahi matlu, is the dalil for the wahi ghair matlu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, perform hajj to Baytullah. مَنِ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. If you have the means, make hajj to Baytullah. Ya Allah, I produce myself in front of the Kaaba. Now what do I do? Allah said, make hajj to Baytullah. But however, there is somebody who said, whose name is Muhammad, he said, on the day of hajj, if you are not in Arafah, there is no hajj for you. We said, no, excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't agree. Eh? Allah said, Baytullah. Which Baytullah is in Arafah? There's no Baytullah in Arafah.
So I'm going to stay in Makkah. I will not go for, to Baitullah and so on. And on the subject, why must I wear some ridiculous dress which is highly uncomfortable, called ihram? I'm fine in my thobe and my mishla and so on and so forth, and a turban on my head. This is sunnah. This is sunnah. I'm not going there in a miniskirt. I'm going there wearing the dress of the sunnah. So I will wear the dress of the sunnah, and I will make tawaf and tawaf and tawaf of the Kaaba. And as far as I'm concerned, I have performed hajj. Yes or no? No. Why? Because you did not follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the hajj? What did he say? Khudu anni manasikakum. He said, take the manasik of hajj from me. Learn how to do hajj from me. Ajib. The hajj of Baytullah, which Allah mentions in the Quran, is to be done far away from Baytullah. Aisa socha na bhai, Allah Taala dimag kis liye diya? Yeah, as I always say, Allah did not give us the brain for us to grow our hair. We don't even do that very well. I mean, half of us are bald anyway. My brothers and sisters, those who claim that the hadith of Allah subhanahu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been corrupted and cannot be trusted and so on are merely demonstrating their own ignorance. Because think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He will protect. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. He said, this is my dhikr. We have sent down our dhikr. We have sent down our ahkam, our kalam, and we will protect it. How can it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the words, but the meanings He does not protect? How is it possible that He sent down a hukum, but how the hukum is to be applied is not protected? Does it make sense to you? Aqimus salah, the word is protected, but the way of salah is not protected. And of course, there are among the jahilun in this city itself, there are those who claim that therefore salah is not what you and I are going to do now inshallah. They say salah means dua. See where ignorance takes you. Salah means dua, and they find a dalil from the Quran. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah and His Messenger send salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that salah, does it mean that Allah is worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nauzubillah, no. That means blessing, dua. Therefore, salah means dua. I can give you. And I have given you, see some of my lectures, give a detailed explanation about the issue of the dictionary meaning, the lughwi ma'ana, the dictionary meaning of a word and the technical meaning of a word, istilahi ma'ana. And there is a big difference between the two. Right? I was telling Mansoor, because Mansoor is a polo player, he's a rider, and so was I once upon a time. So I told Mansoor, I said, if Mansoor and I are talking about horse riding, and I use the word vault, if I say vault, what does it mean? Vaulting is to jump onto a running horse without putting your foot in the stirrup. But from Mansoor, if I come to a banker, and I use the same, exactly same word, vault, what is the banker thinking now? Jumping on a horse? He's thinking about the vault in which all the money is, right? Same word. Same word. Exactly the same word, vault. But in one context, it has a meaning which is completely and totally different from the meaning of exactly the same word in a completely different context. I can give you any number of examples like this. I don't think it is required. I think this example is clear enough. Salah, when it refers the lughwi ma'ana, the technical meaning, the dictionary meaning is blessing, is dua. Salah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said aqimus salah, it has a different meaning, because that aqimus salah is to be understood by the definition, by the explanation of that ayah, by the one on whom that ayah was revealed, whose name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. If you think you are doing salah and that does not confirm with the way that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did salah, goodbye to your salah. It is not acceptable before Allah. My brothers and sisters, the issue of adab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very, very critical matter. Very critical matter. And as I said, those who argue, what did Allah say about them? He said, we will wipe out all your deeds and you will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a single good deed. Remember that the kalima is also a good deed. If all the deeds are wiped out, the kalima is also wiped out. You land before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without even iman. Now what happens to that, to such a person on that day? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from such an ending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the love of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. The people there, there are people in the parking lot all the way down below. Just come. Yeah, actually make, just clump, make the sajda a little bit. Let all the people come inside, make the saf. Yes, sir. Yeah, just. We have to take it.